This segment is entitled Beat the Heat. So, in order to beat the heat, you have to understand a few things about why you have to care about beating the heat. Because human beings are silly creatures sometimes. In fact, even when we know better, we will venture out and do things that will damage us long term, even when we know better. Look around you to see how many people drink excessively and smoke and other behave in other ways that will negatively impact their physical body. That said, in this particular situation, we're talking about the heat. And when we talk about dealing with the heat, obviously the first thing you do is try to find a way to avoid the heat. But every day we have demands placed upon us in order to perform and get tasks done for our general survival. Even in a non-quote survival situation, or should I say crisis situation, you need to perform actions in order to survive. If it's trash day, you need to tote the trash out. Don't take it out at 3 o'clock in the afternoon at the height of the heat. Wait until it's turned dark outside to drag the cans out. Oh well, if your neighbors don't like it, you're doing it in the cool weather. There may be a 20 degree difference between the temperature at 3 p.m. and that of at 8 p.m. or 9 p.m. This is the way we begin to look at how we beat the heat. Find ways to work in the shade. If you're working outside, look to see where the sun is brightest and go to a shaded area. Don't work in an area where you're in the sunlight. If you're a construction guy or you're working outside as a laborer or you're fixing your car, sit somewhere where you're in the shade. Put your gear and your equipment, your saws, your working apparatus in a place that's shaded. If not, make shade. Find a way to make shade. The investment in an up to cover where you're working is priceless in comparison to even $200 for the name brand item compared to the negative impact that it has over a long term on your body. When you dress in light colors, and of course I'm breaking every rule since everyone who knows me knows that I wear basically black all the time, but I have shifted to light colors when I'm laboring outside because it's just realistic. It's not going to absorb the heat as much as if you're wearing a dark color. When in the winter, you hear me all the time say that cotton kills. In the summer, remember that cotton wicks. So although cotton, if it's tight, will restrict your motion, wear loose-fitting, light-colored cotton. It will help to wick the sweat. And as the sweat goes on to your cotton clothing, as the air goes by, it will evaporate that water and you will have the effects of evaporative cooling. Later, I'll talk about some of the things that you can purchase to help you to cool yourself down in natural means. But right now, I want to get into the bottom line of why it's important and understanding the effects of the heat so that you understand what it is that you are attempting to stop. The first thing about it is you will never get excited to avoid the heat or to do anything to protect yourself from dehydration unless you understand the negative impact. So I wanted to get into that a little bit. I'm going to place a link down below on this page that will take you to one of my websites where I have a urine color chart. Please check that out. You can download it from there so that you can look to compare the color of your urine. If you reach up over 50% of that color rate, you know you are in trouble. Don't let yourself get there. But if you are, act immediately to balance your electrolytes, balance your water and sodium level balances in your body ASAP before you need medical help. There's also going to be a link to humankinetics.com to an excerpt they have on there from a published report called Sport Nutrition, Second Edition. It kind of is an amalgam of research data regarding dehydration and fuel substrate depletion. I highly recommend going and reading it. I will outline some information from that and others as I go through this segment and the following segments. So let's look at what they found in their research and how it affects the way we look at this. Here's what they say. Exercise performance is impaired when an individual is dehydrated by as little as 2% of body weight. Losses in excess of 5% of body weight can decrease the capacity for work by 30%. That's pretty significant. If you are in a survival situation under stress, trying to move, leave an area that is threatening you because of fire or civil unrest or whatever it is, these things are critical to understand. The capacity to perform high-intensity exercise, which results in exhaustion within a few minutes, is reduced by as much as 45% by prior dehydration. So, in other words, if you are already becoming dehydrated at the point where you are under demand to have high endurance, like a sprint athlete would who runs a sprint race, a foot race, sprinting, where it's expecting explosive energy, if you're expected to fight for your life, these things are massively depleted by 45%. That's nearly half of your capability. That's why this is so important. Don't wait until it's too late, like I always tell you. Although sprint events in sporting offer little opportunity for sweat loss, athletes who do that, who travel to compete in hot climates, are likely to experience acute dehydration, which persists for several days and may be serious enough to have a permanent detrimental effect on their performance. So let's apply that again into the survival mode. For that matter, the day-to-day mode. I listen to my oldest son, who works in a really horrible climate in southwestern Florida, where it runs temperatures of 99, 102 degrees outside. He's constructing buildings of steel buildings. So he's having the reflective side of that heat coming off of the area he's working. He's surrounded by hard-packed blacktop that is reflecting heat and doing convective heat also. So adding to that, this is why temperatures in a city where there's a lot of blacktop are higher, sometimes as much as 3 to 5, sometimes as many as 10 degrees of that of the surrounding open areas. That is massive. A person in a laboratory, in a cool laboratory, decreases by 5% their aerobic power when they experience fluid losses that are equivalent to 3% of their body mass. In hot conditions, similar water deficits can cause a large decrease. Endurance capacity during incremental exercise and decrease by marginal dehydration, fluid loss of 1% to 2% by body weight, even if water deficits don't actually result in a decrease of overall water mass in the body, can deplete your body's ability to respond by as much as 50%. Why does this matter? Because the main reasons dehydration has an adverse effect on your performance and physical activity is a reduction in blood volume, decreased skin blood flow, decreased sweat rate, decreased heat dissipation because you stop sweating because your body's trying to retain water. You need the water to have blood volume. Decreased heat dissipation then means increased core temperature, increased rate of muscle glycogen use. A result of maximal cardiac output, which means at 80%, the highest pumping capacity to heart that can be achieved during exercise, decreases a person's ability and impairs their work capacity in fatiguing exercise. You are much higher likely to have a heart attack, to have a cardiac arrest because of all those factors, because it's putting so much stress on your cardiac system that you can kill yourself. I remember in the late 60s being in Arlington Cemetery out in Arlington, Virginia, outside of Washington, D.C. And it was the first time, I was only 10 years old, 9 years old, I remember for the first time seeing a man who was reasonably gaunt, who had been there in the cemetery to visit the grave of a friend, and had been overcome by the heat. It was about 100 degrees outside in the sun, and had passed out and was laying on the hot asphalt. And my parents and several others helped to drag the man off of the pavement, where he was basically baking in the sun, into the shade under a tree. And paramedics came. Well, actually, they weren't paramedics yet. The ambulance came, and the EMS guys there were trying to help to cool him down. And as a result of it, I became very, very aware of the effects of dehydration and heat and how they play together to damage your body. That man was hospitalized and nearly died. We never were able to follow up because we didn't know him, but he was in very poor condition. I remember that his heart rate was so low that they thought he was dead. And in that day and age, our medical response teams were basically draconian compared to what they are now. So he probably would have expired if he had been a little worse off. This is a big deal. A person's ability to tolerate heat strain seems to be impaired when dehydrated. So the critical temperature for experiencing central fatigue is somewhere around 102.2 degrees. When dehydrated by more than 5 degrees of body mass, the larger rise in core temperature during exercise in the dehydrated state is associated to cataclysmic response. Yeah, I'll get that word out. And these effects can lead to increased rates of glycogen breakdown in exercise and muscle, which in turn contributes to onset of fatigue and also can cause brain injury, just like when you have a bad fever prolonged. Remember that if you are allowing your head to be in the sun uncovered, I'm not a hat guy, but if you ask most of the people who know me, they'll think I am. I hate wearing a hat. That said, I wear a hat to protect my head, from direct sun, to protect my ears from sun. Because once you get past the dehydration problem and the threat of the damage that it does to your body, you get into other areas too, which is exposure to UV sunlight and UV light from the sun and IR and the drying and the dehydration of your skin and all kinds of other problems that can bring on the onset of carcinoma and melanoma, all things that you should never overlook. I've battled this with my son on the phone over and over again. You know how people are when they're young. They're indestructible. They don't need to hear you telling them about how they have to do all this extra work to do and take care of themselves. They're fine. They've got it. It's okay. But really, it's not. Because if you have someone between 0 and 21, each time that they get a severe sun poisoning or a sunburn, it increases, depending upon which study you look at. The research says that a severe sun poisoning will increase the likelihood of that person getting a melanoma, a skin cancer, in that area by as much as 500%. So even if it's only 50%, don't you think it's worth covering? Do you know that even if you're wearing clothing, if the clothing does not block UV rays, that the UV rays can penetrate into your skin even if you were wearing clothing, if it's not the right clothing? So be aware Do some research for yourself. Make yourself aware of what it takes to protect yourself. Don't wait until it's too late. It's so critical. So now that I've established the idea of dehydration and heat and how it negatively impacts your body, I want to talk a little more in the next segment about what happens once you've done that, which is about how you need to protect yourself against getting dehydrated and what that takes. I've spoken about it before on some previous shows, but I want to go into it with a little more detail, and I'll do that in the next segment. We'll be back.